Sure do thank God this morning for salvation. It's a wonderful blessing. Songwriter of the song they just sang said, standing still, I believe it said, is hard to do. And I thought about in battle sometimes, it is our crisis, or we what we deem a crisis. It is rather sometimes hard to stand still. Some of the things that went through my mind is that sometimes when we are in a crisis, there's this temptation just to run. You get afraid or frightened. But the songwriter in the Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Another place, another thing that can happen to us is that we can just faint. Some people get frightened enough and the blood gets cut off to their mind and they pass out and faint. And another thing that happens to people sometimes when they get frightened, they attack and they go on the offensive. That's not something that's very good for us to go out in our own strength. So sometimes, many times, when we've done all we know to do, we need to just stand on where God has placed us and stand on the Word of God. Two Sundays ago, had a little message here about respect and reverence for God. In particular, the respect and reverence to God in this building. As we gather together as part of the body of Christ, as believers, to come and worship the Lord. And how that the Lord, he said in Habakkuk, is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent and be silent. I believe coming before the Lord is in awe and respect, something that we are waiting and looking for the Lord's blessings, and to see Him and not man, or to see Him and not the efforts of man. In that message, we dealt primarily with respect, reverence for God, as I said, in our worship to Him. We spoke about how where two or three are come together in His name, that He has promised to be in our midst, and how every time you and me come together in that name, we have this hope and this knowledge that God is here with us. And because of that, we want things done in a way that He would accept and that would show respect and honor and praise to Him. We spoke about how we as Christians respecting God and respectful of His presence with us need to redeem this time and count this as a very precious time. Not only in attendance, but on being punctual, not being a distraction and being tardy. We spoke about that. Just a little recap here. That the things that we do here be edifying and in the order of the Lord. We spoke also a little bit about part of our coming together is to worship the Lord with our offerings financially, the first fruit of our life, and how that was commanded and shown to be something God wanted His children to do. We spoke a little bit about coming together in reference or respect to God and His agreement to be with us. Is that in our dress and in our deportment that we should have respect to the presence of the Lord. That the way we present our bodies, the way we dress our bodies, whether it's in a too casual, offhand way, or whether it's in a modest, immodest way, or conversely in a modest way, it makes a difference as to whether we're accepted of God or not. And that we've come to worship the Lord. We've come to give respect and reverence to His presence among us. And that how we are not our own any longer, and we're bought with a price. So the way we conduct ourselves is important. in our respect of the presence of the Lord. Those were just a few of the things we touched on. Maybe today's message is somewhat in that same vein. It's concerning respect and regard for God's presence. It's also concerning our conduct. And it's also part of our worship service. And I believe it's something God, by His Word, is looking for from us in respect to Him. Not in a show of the flesh, not in some euphoric building up of human emotions, but in respect to Him, I believe God is wanting us to come before Him this way. And the word that I want to talk some about is the word amen. I don't know that I've ever had a thought on amen before. But I want to talk about worshiping the Lord, having respect to His presence with us. It won't be just entirely on the word amen, but it's the conduct of ourselves and the expression of our worship here. The word amen in the Greek and Hebrew mean basically the same thing, the word those words that it was taken from and came out to be amen in the King James Bible. It means verily or truly. It means so be it or so it is. It also means firm and faithful and trustworthy. So when we think about the word amen in relation to God, we're saying His word is forever settled in heaven. We're saying He is a faithful high priest, a faithful God, and He's trustworthy, worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. It also can mean those things, but reading the commentaries about a little history of this word, the saying of amen, the pronouncing of those words, and some other things we'll speak about here as we go on, it came, and it's a holdover or a carryover, if you will, from the worship in the synagogue. And this is what one wrote. It's a custom from the synagogues to the Christian assemblies. When he who had read or discoursed or prayed to God, the others responded, amen, thus making the substance of what was uttered their own. So in the saying of amen, we're saying, Lord, that's a faithful saying, or that's a trustworthy saying. We're saying it's truly so. Verily it's true. And we're saying, so be it. And yes, it is so. Now, and we're conveying that if it's in prayer meeting or prayer, if it's in a testimony service or the preaching or the singing, wherever glory and honor and exaltation to God is being given in reverence and respect to His presence among us, we hear that which is uttered by a song or by the word or by a prayer or by the preaching or a testimony. We that are sitting by can say amen. And that, in essence, is making that which is said part of our own self. We're in agreement with that. Over in Psalms, the 107th Psalm, in the first two verses, O give thanks unto the Lord. This is 107 of Psalms. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. One of the worst things that you and me can have is an enemy, and an enemy maybe who has trapped us, an enemy who has treated us less than good, an enemy who became a great taskmaster, and an evil one at that. And the one who put us in bondage and penalty, and we suffered the wrath of God for the enemy's work in our life. And Jesus Christ came to redeem, to set free. And He paid a wonderful, precious, and costly price that you and me today might be free. And the writer of long ago speaks to us today. And he said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Those who have been released. You see, one of the things about the devil is he's a taskmaster. He's also a dungeon master. He's a prison master. He's the warden of a very evil place. And not only does he cause you and me who submit to him to sin and go against God and separate us from God and his provisions and his salvation, but he is also one that keeps us locked up and keeps us in bondage. So part of not only is being freed from the penalty of death and sin and of displeasing the Lord, not only are we free to serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness, but the prisons that encompass the flesh or the spirit of man has also been opened. And now we have the privilege of saying, "Praise God." And we can say it not because I'm prompted by man. You know, no one wants to be in a service where we're prompted to raise our hand or we're prompted to say praise God. But from outpourings of gratitude and thanksgiving, I am redeemed. Now, the Bible said, let the redeemed speak that or say amen to that. Let the redeemed praise God. Do you remember the story in Luke, the 2nd chapter? Maybe we'll refer to that rather than misquote it. Luke, the 2nd chapter. There was an angel came to some shepherds. And maybe this, in part, at least, is the beginning of the good news or of the gospel message. Luke 2 and 13. And there were with the angel, there was this angel who made the proclamation, and suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." My thought is this, the angel proclaimed it, and suddenly out of a response of, shall we say, their heart, and out of their thanksgiving for what God was doing, the good news that was being brought down to man, not only was the one speaking giving glory to God, but suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host. The whole chorus of heaven joined in. All those that were, we might say, redeemed in our sense, or those who could see the redemption of man, joined in the chorus, praising God and giving glory to His name. I believe that is something that you and me can take a lesson from. When God's truth, and I don't mean just in preaching, when God's Spirit is working among us, it can be in any part of the service, and it witnesses to my heart or to your heart. Remember, the prison has been set open. The devil, who is the warden, has been defeated. And he has unloosed us, Jesus has, and unshackled us, that we can worship God now in the beauty of holiness. And when things worthy of praise God, when things are worthy of, yes, that's my testimony also, go forth. Something that the devil wants to take away from us is the knowledge of the freedom to say amen. You may think that's a small thing. I don't. I think, and we may try to get there after a while, we worship the Lord together and not as individuals when we come to service. Now, maybe I better clarify that. Yes, we do worship the Lord individually. I'll take that back in that sense. But together we join our voices. Together we join our prayers. Together we join our testimonies. And may I say that when you and me enter into the worship of the Lord, and it's not for me to dictate how, and this message will not be exactly binding on us all in the sense that we just got to do this. But praise God, we got the liberty to do it. The blessing has come that we have something to say amen to, and that we have the privilege of coming to the Lord without restraint, if it's in the Spirit, because the prison and the warden has been defeated, and we've been set free now. Worship to God. I'm speaking this morning of reverence and respect in our worship to God. Reverence in Him. Respecting His presence and what is said. So this heavenly host joined in the angel who made the good news. David said in 121st Psalms, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, sometimes we spiritualize the house of the Lord. Lord, help me here. A little more, maybe. And the devil takes advantage of something here. We are the temple of God. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. I know that. On this altar, there's no mercy seat. Down on that altar, on this pulpit, and on that altar, there's no mercy seat. I realize that. But when God comes together with, or when we come together in His name, folks, God has said, I'm going to be there. This is not just any old building. Granted, it's made out of the materials that every building is made out of. But when God's people gather together, this is a sanctified place. This is a holy place. This is a place where God says, I'll come and be with you and minister to you and accept your collective praise and your worship. And I will give to one to sharpen the other and exhort one another and to provoke one another to good works. I will be there to work in and amongst you. So David said, I was glad. Folks, a lot of us have been going to church since we were infants. Probably raised in some kind of building. Sunday morning, go to church. Sunday night, go to church, etc. There ought to be a certain amount of habit to it, but there certainly ought to be enthusiasm to it. Going with the purpose, Jesus is going to meet with His people. And He's freed me, and I am redeemed, and I am washed, and I am cleansed. I can enter into His gates with praise now. This is not to condemn us. This is to hopefully allow us to see this morning what a privilege we have. And that we not let it be robbed from us for various reasons. But we're redeemed. Absolutely redeemed. And whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. So may the Lord help us today that there be a gladness. There be a gladness in coming together with God's people. And in coming together, we come to receive, but come willing also to be a contributor, to be a partaker of and a participator in. Not as the preacher says, not as the Sunday school teacher or the song leader says, but as God leads. I'm not saying we each one have to have a lot to say or anything to say every Sunday. But the right is there, the freedom is there, and the blessing is there. In Psalms 100 in the fourth verse, Psalms 100 in the fourth verse, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We live in a busy day, but you know what? It's not going to get any easier in that respect. And you know, we think we're busy, but you know the old fellow back there in the 1920s and the 1800s that had a field to plow and work from sun up to sundown and milked cows and plowed field and shucked corn and all this. You know, he didn't work just 5 days a week like some of us do. Some of us do. But he worked 7 days a week. Up early and go to bed when the chickens started roosting so he could hopefully get some rest. You know, really and truly, we use this maybe as a cop-out. I'm busy. You know, America has more free time than we ever had. Redeem the time, the Bible said. Redeem the time. Take advantage of the time. And one of the things we can do is we can enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Sometimes we get so tied up in our extras. Lord, help us today. With thanksgiving and bless His name. I'd like to ask us this morning a little question to provoke our thinking. We come together for a purpose. And I'd like to ask you to think about it, answer it to yourself. What's our purpose in coming together? Why do we come? Habit? Someone required it of me? Paul, the writer in this verse, in the 104th verse of Psalms, and it said, bless His name. May we have come here today to bless the Lord. Bless His name. Praise God. Give glory to Him. To receive instruction. To be corrected. To be encouraged. To be healed. Maybe there's someone in bondage. We've come here today to be set free. To be forgiven. To receive the Holy Ghost. Various reasons why we come to this place. Over in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, I'd like to read. Freedom. Praise God. 1 Timothy 2 and 7. 1 Timothy 2 and 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. Study a little bit about lifting up holy hands, and that's not new just to the Christian era. There was a certain amount of ritualism in the law, and one of the things they did was to offer themselves and their sacrifice. Different things happened. One, they placed their hands at times on the sacrifice. Other times they opened up their hands in submission and worship to God. Paul is speaking to the Christians, speaking to the Christian church, and he said that he would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. The signal, or the significance rather, of lifting up holy hands to us can mean different things. But it is a visual, to me, a visual amen. It is a testifying of, I am in agreement. My heart is thrilled at what is being said, at what is being sung. My heart is overcome with joy at the presence of the Lord and His willingness to free me and work with me. And however you may be blessed of the Lord, and we're saying it's true within my heart. It is not to be seen of men. It is not to promote oneself. But it is a worship to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. That is being read, that is being spoken, it's true within my heart. And Paul encouraged us to lift up holy hands. And he said it this way, without doubting. Without doubting. Now, this word doubting could have been said, and I'm not saying we'll change it, but it could have been said without reasoning. I wonder how many times we reason ourselves out of a blessing. I wonder how many times we reason ourselves out of being a blessing. I wonder how many times we reason ourselves out from something God wants to correct us on or encourage us on. The Lord wants us to enter in without human reasoning. And I thought about it this way. And this is something probably that affects everyone, some more than others. We don't want to come to the Lord in self-consciousness, but we want to come before Him God-conscious. What is the Lord doing? What is the Lord saying? I realize there's a natural inhibition to all of us, some more than others. And this is not something that is required per se, but it is something that's available to us. It's something God has given to us. It's a means of expression. It's a means of being blessed and being a blessing. And the Lord wants you and me to recognize that there is a great blessing in worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. So we can come before the Lord not self-conscious. You know, self-consciousness is good except in the extreme cases. Then it becomes an inhibitor. Then it becomes a preventer. Then it becomes a stumbling block. You know, people that are overly self-conscious, it's hard for them to accomplish things because they can't get over being conspicuous or what people may think of them. Now, I'm not making light of that. It's something in us all, some more than others. But when we come together to worship the Lord, Lord, help us to come not doubting, not reasoning among ourselves, what will someone think or what will someone say? We are here in respect to God's presence with us. And then what I do, what you do or say, is an outpouring of that expression of rejoicing, thanksgiving, and praise to Him. We're not saying amen to man. We're not saying praise God to a songwriter. But we're saying that which God is speaking to us, it's true within my heart. It's a form then of worship to God. It's a pouring out of ourselves, saying, Lord, thank you, of humbling ourselves and worshiping Him. I think that's something that each one of us have to consider for our own selves. Not something that we can just say, well, now you do this and you do that and you'll be blessed. But as God leads us, praise the Lord this morning, amen. Praise is comely, Jesus, the writer of Psalms said. Over in 1 Chronicles, I believe, 16th verse, chapter, the 36th verse, the man of old was reading, exhorting, and it said in that verse, after it was read, 1 Chronicles 16:36, and all the people said amen. So we see the saying of amen goes back. And it's not something that D.S. Warner or someone just started up. But it is an expression of worship to God and a praise to God. And it's part of our worship service. And just as everyone's maybe not a song leader, just as everyone's not a Sunday school teacher, whatever you may think, I'm not and would not say that every one of us has got to be ameners. I don't know if that's a word or not. But we're not all required, but we all are encouraged. And we all have the privilege. And we all have the right to submit ourselves to God and allow Him to guide our worship, speak through us, and allow us to be free in the Lord. Congregational worship, if you take Hebrews for an example, is not just something that we can or cannot do. But the writer of Hebrews said not to forsake this time together. And our worship service to me is in part the community of believers coming together, each joint, each member having something to supply. And I'd like to encourage us this morning, take the opportunity God gives us to be a supplier. It doesn't always have to be outwardly, by no means. You know, if everyone had something to say every service, you know, 12 o'clock wouldn't be long enough. We'd have to go on. But every joint coming with a spirit of worship, of praise, and of thanksgiving. Everyone coming God-conscious instead of self-conscious. Our eyes looking on Him and not on what someone else is doing. Not with a critical eye toward others, but a critical eye toward ourselves. Lord, what would you have me to do? Where is the blessing for me today? Lord, I want to empty myself out in worship and praise. Lord, I want to enter in to the singing, to the study, to the prayer, to the preaching. I want to be an integral part of it. And that's very important. Because if you and me do not feel integrated into something, there's more of an opportunity than an excuse to pull back from it. But as you and I allow the Lord to integrate us into the body of Christ, as we are allowed by God and led by God to integrate ourselves into the worship service, there is something therapeutic about that to our spirit. And that causes me and you to bond a little closer together. But you know, if any of us would just come and not participate, not allow our spirit to participate. Again, it's not for me to say how that participation is. But if we don't allow that, we're going to feel somewhat like a stranger. And the devil will come along and take advantage of that thing. Lord, help us to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and bless His holy name. The community is just that. Every joint supplying. Over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we come with a certain degree of responsibility to one another also. Over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in the 23rd verse, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. So we meet to exhort one another. We meet to praise God together. We meet to supply what God has given us. We meet to provoke one another, to encourage one another, to be a blessing one to another. We have then the privilege of coming here in this place. God has agreed to meet with us. He's agreed to be right in our presence. Let's be respectful of that. You see, it's not just the coming together of people, but it's the presence of the Lord. And that's what we have to give respect to. There are people who worship the Lord in tears. There are people who worship the Lord more vocally. There are people who worship the Lord in deep, deep consideration and meditation of what's being said. And it's not for us to displace that. But we want to encourage the worship of the Lord as He leads us. And amen, praise God, and lifting of holy hands is something the devil wants to take from us. He wants to rob us of that. There's no grace in me lifting up my hand. I know that. But it's honoring God. And God takes respect to that. And He'll bless me as I am being blessed of Him. And the devil, I say this in the fear of the Lord. And I surely say it to myself. The devil would like to rob us of the participation that comes through collectively worshiping God, through isolationism by thinking, well, I can't enter into that. The devil's a liar, folks. We can enter into it. We ought to enter into it. If God is no respect of person, and we know He's not, then when you and me come together, we're equal in His sight. And every one of us can bless the Lord. Every one of us can praise God. Did you know there was a time when men were doing things in the name of the Lord and the disciples thought ill of that? And what did Jesus say to them? Leave them alone. You know, God will come to you and me, and He wants us to understand that we've come to worship the Lord. Pour out our hearts to God. It's going to be decent. It's going to be in order if it's led of the Lord. That's really not a problem, is it? It's when man steps out of that leadership of the Holy Spirit that things get out of order. But if we come together, we have the privilege, the invitation to say amen to what God has had for us. And I want to encourage that. I think I'm lax in that. I don't think I'm the example of what you ought to be. I don't mean that at all. Lord, help us today not to let the devil steal from us something that is constructive to worship. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I don't want to in any way leave the impression that we can do this without God or Christ. The congregational worship is entirely dependent on Christ's presence. If Christ is not here, then we've become a form. We have become just a multitude of people trying to psych one another up. And that will last. The water won't even get hot. We'll be in trouble before we leave the place if we stand in the wisdom of men. Our faith is not to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So as we come together, the one thing that must be here is Christ. Then if Christ is here, let's put our eyes on Him and worship Him. When the day of Pentecost came over in Acts, second chapter, Acts the second chapter, well, I can't quite get the fingers working right. Acts the second chapter and the second verse, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The true worshiper, Jesus said, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's important that we recognize the importance of Christ among us and the Spirit of God in us, and how that is what we're worshiping and not the effects of man. And it said here in this fourth verse, as the Spirit gave them utterance. I don't know if all 120 plus said something. Maybe just some of them said something. But it seems like there was a thought here that being filled with the Holy Ghost, there was an agreement. They were in one accord. And there was an outpouring of the Spirit of God there because, one, it was a promise. But two, they had met expressly for that purpose in obedience to God. And when God poured out His Spirit upon them, He gave utterance to them. Now, that's the part that we want to think about just a moment. When we come together, it should be as the Spirit gives utterance. And as the Spirit gives utterance, it should witness to us each one. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God for the Spirit that comes to teach us and to lead us in all truth. Thank the Lord for the exhortation of my brother and my sister. Thank the Lord for the testimony that provokes me to good works. Yes, Lord, it's true in my heart. That's what I want. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. You see what I am doing? I am allowing myself to be fed and to grow and to feast and to feed on what the Lord has given someone else, and I'm taking it in and becoming a part of it. If I doubt, if I'm skeptical, if I say, well, I don't know about that, I am to some degree alienating myself. And I'm allowing a place for doubting to come in. It's not, again, praise the Lord on cue or amen on cue. There's a group that pulled away from us some time back. I've seen a little of their services, and I really have a little problem with some of the things. But one thing is, it seems like everything is done on a cue. If one jumps up on a row, then the whole row jumps up. Or the whole little section gets up. I don't want to sound rude or anything, but, you know, the Lord can inspire one or He can inspire the whole multitude. And this is not something done on cue, but it's as the Spirit gives utterance. As the Spirit leads us, folks, we have the privilege to say amen. In worship to God. As the Spirit says, let yourself go, turn loose, let me lead you, we can lift up holy hands to the Lord. And we don't have to do it as someone looking at me. Close your eyes and say, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Worship the Lord. Not in consciousness of, I want to be seen of men, or someone might look at me. But in consciousness that I am in the presence of the Almighty God, I've come to worship Him who died for me, rose again for my salvation, who has redeemed me, who has freed me from the old evil taskmaster. Now I'm free to worship the Lord. I'm free to let my spirit worship the Lord. I'm spirit free to let my lips and my hands, my whole being worship the Lord, however He would lead me. May the Lord help us that, to be encouraged. To be encouraged to come to this place with the Spirit of God here, the knowledge that Jesus is here, and our attention focused on Jesus. Focused on the Lord. Focused on what He's doing and what He's done and how He's leading. And you know, songwriter said, I have flung myself recklessly out. Lord, help us to come to this place, if I can borrow that, and just release ourselves to the leadership of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, shall go in and out and find pasture. That's 10 and 9 of John. It's the liberty we have, the freedom we have. Did you know the Lord, or sheep rather, are not just kept in one pasture. Cattle, for that matter, aren't either. But the good shepherd goes about and goes ahead of the flock. And he leads them into the pasture that's green. So he doesn't overwork or tax one piece of property. And he leads them and he has the freedom to choose. Well, today we have the freedom to go where God leads us. We have the freedom to worship the Lord. He said we can go in and we can go out and find pasture. To me, that denotes the freedom that I have in Christ. Freedom from sin, but it's also freedom of expression. Freedom of worship. And He said, I am that door. So we can enter into the Lord with a spirit of worship and praise and thanksgiving. Over in 2 Corinthians a moment. I hope this morning, sometimes I listen to myself, well, a few times I've listened to myself, and sometimes I think I don't know. Lord, help us this morning to realize the opportunity we have, the blessing we have. It's not to cast any one of us down, but God, help us to be encouraged that I can just praise God. I can worship God. I can worship Him in my heart. I can worship Him with my body. I can worship the Lord. I don't have to be intimidated. I don't have to be held back. I can let myself, I can release myself into the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not going to lead me into an unseemly thing. I've been to a few Pentecostal meetings where they fall down and the ladies have to be covered up. No, we're not talking about that kind of thing. That's unseemly, undignified, indecent. We're talking about the Lord meeting with His people wherever they are, but we're talking about here in this building right now. And 16 and 17. Nevertheless, it was speaking of Israel under the law, partly anyway. 16th verse, nevertheless, when it, Israel, shall turn to the Lord, the veil that was over Moses, the veil that was over them, the things that they couldn't see because of the law and the blindness of their own heart, he said that veil is taken away. This morning, look on our lives. Look on yours, me on mine. Do we have a veil over our face? The veil of, I can't say that. Well, I can't do that. Someone might. What would they think? Oh, I would love to, but do we have a veil over our face? I don't mean this disrespectful. I'm talking to myself. Have I come to a place that I'm more person conscious than God conscious? Can I trust Him enough to know He's not going to let me do something unseemly if I'll follow Him? He's not going to get me in a position where I say something that's derogatory or tearing down. He's going to give us what edifies. The part that God wants you and me to supply. Can we have faith this morning? I can trust Him. When He gives it to me, it's going to be the right part. May the Lord help us this morning. If there's a veil on our face concerning public worship, God help us to let Him take it away. And it's hard to say things like that. Well, I'm not, I promise you. Saying it, you know, this way kind of. If there's a veil on us, a vocal veil, an intimidation veil, Brother Clifford Wilson, a man, you know, my feelings toward him probably. He taught me a lot. He was a man that when the Lord blessed him, tears came in his eyes. And if you weren't looking at him, you wouldn't know it. That's okay, see. We're not doing it. Hey, see me? Look at me. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're not saying amen because I got a loud voice and I got the amen corner over here somewhere. No, it's not that. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. I bow in humble recognition of your majesty and your glory and your beauty. Thank you for liberty. Then open your eyes if you want to. If there's a veil on us, could it be that veil is standing not only in my way because it's there over my, but could it be a stumbling block for someone else? I ask that. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What a message in that. Go in, go out, and find pasture. Be ourselves before God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lifting up holy hands. What was the sister in Oklahoma City? Catherine Williams. If we got any sister Catherine Williams, walk up and down. That wasn't unseemly, was it? That wasn't undignified. She wasn't being immodest, was she? You didn't sense a spirit of, everybody look at me as I walk back and forth. You didn't sense that at all, did you? God help us. If there's a veil on us, help us, Lord. Help me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. That's my little message in that part right there. We've got the liberty to say, praise God. We got the liberty to say, amen. We got the liberty to jump up and down. We got the liberty to let the tears flow. We got the liberty to come to an altar and say, Lord, help me. We just have liberty in the Lord. And folks, let's do it Godward and God conscious. Not to be accepted of men, but to be accepted of God. I thought about it, where there's liberty, that thought. And you heard of 4-H. That's a club in high school, junior high, agriculture mainly. Well, this is the 4 E's. And the Lord gave this to me. We have the liberty of the 4 E's to explore, to experience, to enjoy, and to exclaim. It's our life. It's our liberty. We've got the right to go in and out and find pasture. And who's to say the pasture that you're feeding at today is just the pasture I need for my soul? And the way the Lord wanted to get me to that pasture that you're blessed in is for you to tell me about it. Because He didn't reveal it to me. And God works that way, doesn't He, folks? Lord, help us that we can explore now all the riches, all the deep things of God. We can experience it in our heart. And we can thoroughly enjoy it. And as we enjoy it, we can say, praise God. Thank the Lord. I want to tell you something. When I find a good restaurant that has something outstanding, I'm going to tell at least one person, maybe two. May tell all of you if we're in a little place that's convenient. Find something you enjoy. You can exclaim it. Without, you know, I can say, I went to, I don't know what restaurant. I like Del Rancho, okay? I like their steak sandwich. You know, I'm free to say I like that steak sandwich at Del Rancho without worrying whether you're going to think I'm got good taste or bad taste. See? And whether you accepted me liking Del Rancho or not, I still got the right to tell you. No, I shouldn't do it. And you're going to like it too. Well, no, we don't do that. Come on, you're going to sit down and eat one and you're going to enjoy it. No, but I've got the right. Say, man, I went to Del Rancho the other day. That steak sandwich is that big around. Whoa, it was good. You know we do that. Lord, help us to enjoy salvation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Take the veil off of us, Lord. I can't do it. I can't even take it off of myself, folks. It's going to take God to remove the veil. Lord, please, I'm not casting that. Lord, help us today. That we just, you know what? If you want to take issue with this, you go ahead and I'll answer it best I can later. We'll enjoy services better. We'll just enjoy the time spent here. It'll help the preacher feed. The song service, it'll help the song leader lead. You know, it'll help. And I keep repeating myself. I'm not talking about manufacturing it in the flesh. Then get that thought out of our mind. I'm speaking about totally free in the Lord. If I want to sit there and cry, or if I want to sit there with my legs crossed and just, a lot of times when we're singing, I am listening to what the song is saying. Sometimes I just get absorbed in it. Listening to what the... And there's no outward expression whatsoever. That's okay too, see? Worshiping the Lord. Spirit. And in truth. Allowing Him to... just lead us. Free us. And let us go. Last scripture is found over in Revelation. Seemed like the people in that realm, however we may take this, in that realm seemed to not be inhibited. I want to issue a little thought here. I wouldn't want to put anyone under bondage. I don't want to do that at all. There are people who are naturally reserved. And I'm not trying to say that reserved person is wrong. No, indeed. And I would not in any way try in myself to change that. They've got a place in the body and they're valuable. And I'm satisfied with that. But to us all, the reserved person by nature included, we can worship the Lord however He leads us. Outwardly, inwardly, lifting up hands, saying amen. It's not for me to dictate this, but it's for us to proclaim the good news that the veil can be lifted. And then we can worship the Lord. And I do believe it'll be edifying to the worship service, edifying to the song, edifying to prayer. When you and me bring our little contribution, I'll say this for about amens. Sometimes this can be a very lonely place. You know, I don't mind being a preacher, but it can be a lonely place. Did you know serving the Lord can feel like a lonely place too, sometimes? And you know, you're sitting here hoping, is anybody listening, Lord? Have I stayed up too long? Did I miss it? And every now and then you hear, amen! Well, praise the Lord, at least got a little something out there, right? You know, we need that. The preacher needs it. But I want to tell you something, folks. We need it. We need it. And this is not, we need it. We need the freedom to do it. Now, the good news is we've got the freedom. And to those of us who have been veiled, God is willing to unveil us. To those who are unveiled and you still have a quiet spirit, amen. Brother Stanley's not here trying to get you to jump. Just to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 19th chapter of Revelation, 4th verse. And the 24 elders and 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Breaking out of a mold takes a little effort. The cocoon of self-consciousness is not always easily broken. Allow that to be broken by the Spirit of God working with you. Not allowing it to be broken by the by man coercing you into it. But I'm thinking here about their praises. And I'm thinking about allowing myself to get free of the intimidation of the flesh. It's worth it. It's worth it. You and me will enjoy. See, I'm getting confused here because I don't want to say we're not enjoying it. But we can enjoy the service of the Lord more as we participate. Now, folks, that's the truth. To be led of the Spirit, and we will enjoy it in the service more. And as we enjoy it more, we're going to get more out of it. And as we enjoy it more, we're going to want to come back more. As we enjoy it more, we're going to tell others about it more. It's not up to the preacher, and you know this. It's not up to one or two. I'm not against preachers. In fact, the business is I am one. I'm not against it. It's Bible. It's doctrine. I'm not against pastors. It's Bible. It's doctrine. But it doesn't revolve around the pastor. It doesn't revolve. It's Christ. It's Christ. Christ alone. Hopefully the pastor's got something to feed us with, but it's still God. So breaking out, I want to encourage this, us each one who feel, I confess, who feel the intimidation. It's worth it to break out. You'll be blessed. Your children will be blessed. In coming together and interacting with God, interacting with His Spirit, interacting with the saints, it gives us, as I said earlier, a sense of belonging. It's good for us to know my spirit witnessed with His Spirit and with their spirit. And we see this thing and we want to exalt Christ and we want to exalt what God has done in this earth. It gives us a sense of identifying with the cause. To publicly praise God, enter into His gates with psalms, to enter into the Lord with a scripture, to enter into the presence of the Lord with a song on our heart, a testimony with a scripture. It helps us to identify why we're here. And we receive from it, and others receive from it. And this scripture, may it burn in our hearts today. In the 6th verse, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And He allows you and me to reign with Him. Brother Jim talked to us in Sunday school this morning about being blessed. We're blessed to know today the Lord God reigneth. And He is omnipotent. And He's called us to be His children. So, at the end of the preaching of the word there in Chronicles, all the people said, Amen.